I'm Gregory Berg. Beginning tonight, May 5th, running into tomorrow morning, May 6th, it is Holocaust Remembrance Day. In honor of Holocaust Remembrance Day, I want to replay a memorable morning show interview that I recorded and initially broadcast back in 2016. I'm thrilled to be spending this portion of the morning show with a best-selling author by the name of Wendy Holden, who has written a number of compelling books, the most recent of which is called Born Survivors, Three Young Mothers and Their Extraordinary Story of Courage, Defiance, and Hope. This is a Holocaust story unlike any you have ever heard before, in which three young women imprisoned in a concentration camp did all that they could to conceal their own pregnancies, knowing that were their pregnancies to be known to their captors, it would mean almost certain death for themselves and for their as-yet-unborn children. And only by the slimmest of margins were they able to escape that all-but-certain death sentence and give birth under unspeakable circumstances to their young children, to their babies who managed to survive and who are alive to this day and who are, in a sense, the last leg of this incredible story told by Wendy Holden. Her book is published by HarperCollins, and Wendy Holden is coming to the Lake Geneva Public Library for a special presentation Saturday, May 14th at 10:30 in the morning, a presentation that not only will focus on this story and the book about it, but will also feature sons of some of the liberators of that particular concentration camp. And as a matter of fact, an invitation has been extended to a couple of those surviving infants as well. It's an amazing story. And Wendy Holden, who is joining me via telephone from her home in England, we welcome you to the morning show.
Good morning, Greg, and thank you very much for having me.
So how did you first become aware of this extraordinary story?
Well, the mothers would say, and the babies would all say, that luck plays an enormous part in their story, and it certainly plays an enormous part in mine. I was reading something late at night online. It was an obituary in a Canadian newspaper, and it featured a woman who had died, who had been in Auschwitz and had a baby there, who had died in childbirth. So I was very moved by her story, and it occurred to me that in all the books I'd read about the Holocaust, I'd never read anything before that featured children who'd survived the camps, and I then realized or thought that that was because there couldn't be any. Obviously, you know, most mothers and babies were murdered by the Nazis and sent to the gas chambers or worse in very many ways, and I just couldn't quite fathom that any could have survived. I looked online in case there was anything about them anywhere, and my name came across, my eyes came across the name Eva Clark. And she was an English survivor, coming up to 70 years old. And my second piece of luck was that she lived 1 hour from me in Cambridge in England. And I went and spent a day with her. She agreed to see me. We had a very emotional, beautiful day together, laughing and crying. And at the end of it, I told her that I believed her story to be unique and that I would really love to have the privilege of writing it in a book. And she reached out and touched my arm and told me she'd been waiting for me for nearly 70 years. And then she laughed and told me that she thought that she also thought her story to be unique. She'd gone through most of her life, 65 years in fact, thinking she was the only baby who could have survived. And it was only in 2010, again by luck, that she discovered that there were two other babies whose mothers had been on the self-same journey as her mother. So all three mothers were young Jewish mothers from Europe, from Czechoslovakia and from Poland. And they'd all have individually been sent to Auschwitz to be examined by Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Angel of Death. And from that moment on, their journeys were the same right up until their liberation in the final camp. But each story is individual and remarkable in its own right, and each of them is a miracle. It's an incredible event that these babies were born and that they survived and that their mothers survived as well.
Hmm. One of the starkest, most heartrending images that we're given is this image of women herded together. I mean, the prisoners in that camp who were women, herded together and examined in the most inhumane way to try and detect if indeed any of them were pregnant. Because, of course, in the mind of the collective mind of the Nazis, it made no sense to allow a Jewish woman to give birth to what would amount to yet another Jewish person coming into the world. So
absolutely, absolutely. They were. It was their intent to eradicate the entire Jewish race. So certainly they wouldn't. They wouldn't want another Jewish baby born, as they would put it. But also at that point, and again, luck then comes into it again, because it was towards the end of the war. It was summer to fall, 1944. And by then, the Nazis desperately needed slave labor, because all the men had been sent to the front. They were losing the war left, right and center, and they'd had terrible experience on the Russian front and so on. So they were desperate for slave labor. Anybody they could, who was able-bodied, would be sent to the factories to work, to try and carry on making armaments and so on. So all three mothers individually, not together in the same group, but individually had an identical experience, which was that having got to Auschwitz, having been sort of disgorged from the train into this place on which they described as Dante's Inferno or Hell on Earth, they were then frog marched or marched to what's called the bathhouse, the sauna, and they were there stripped and shaved of every hair and all their clothing taken away, all their jewelry stolen. And then they were marched outside and forced to stand naked and shivering on a parade ground, standing in cold, wet clay for hours and hours on end while they were inspected and examined. And Joseph Mengele, who was in charge of Auschwitz II Birkenau, which was the women's camp, took a special pride in personally examining these women, to the point that he even worked on his days off. And individually he approached each woman, each of these three mothers, and asked if they were pregnant, and he said it in such a way that was quite chilling. He said, "Are you pregnant, pretty lady?" And they each denied it, because they were only 2 months pregnant, and they weren't yet showing. But the ones that he suspected were either lying or were already pregnant, he would either squeeze their breasts very hard to see if they produced any milk, which might betray them, or if they were very visibly present, they were pregnant, they were immediately pulled out of the line and shoved into a corner where they would later have been either sent to the gas chambers or sent to his experimentation wing, where he conducted the most unspeakable experiments on mothers and babies, particularly on twins.
Hmm. It's hard to fathom such evil. And it's one of those stories, too, in which we sort of think that we have heard already the darkest chapters of this story, and then something like this comes to light that is in some ways more unspeakable still. Tell us about the process by which you uncovered each of these stories, and all the detail that surrounds these stories, because of course the surviving children are not in the best perspective of offering those stories up unless they heard them from their own parents. Tell us about how sort of the legacy of these stories was preserved, and how ultimately you were able to find out all that you did.
Well, I was very fortunate, because each of the mothers had not only told their children and others about their experiences, including each mother gave evidence to the Shoah Foundation, so they were recorded on video online, which I was able to view. So that was wonderful for me, because I was able to see them talking and speaking and gesticulating and smiling and crying a little, and all these different aspects of their expressions and their mannerisms that... It was extraordinary and wonderful for me to be able to witness, because obviously they'd all just died or previously died. In fact, one mother, Eva's mother, Anka, had only died 6 months before I came to the story. So I was lucky to have that. I was lucky to have written testimony. They had written things down for their family members, and they had also given interviews to researchers, which were in the archives. It took me 18 months in total to write and research the book, and it probably would have taken me 5 years, Greg, if I'd had a sort of unlimited deadline. But from the moment I met Eva, I realized that the book had to be published on the 70th anniversary of the end of the Second World War and the 70th anniversary of their liberation, which would also, of course, coincide roughly with their 70th birthdays. So I went to each of the sites mentioned in the book. I started in Auschwitz-Birkenau. I went to each of their birthplaces, their hometowns. I visited each of their graves, including one in Nashville, Tennessee. And I went to Auschwitz-Birkenau. I also went to Freiburg, where they had the slave labor camp, where they were incarcerated for 7 months making aircraft parts and were virtually starved and worked to death, where each of them in that 7 months went down to 70 pounds and ultimately gave birth to 3-pound babies. So there was a great wealth of material, archive material. The Nazis were very thorough with their documentation, so they had records and names, and I was able to access the archives. I was also able to access the archive material at the concentration camp, where they were finally liberated by the 11th Armored Division under General Patton on the 5th of May 1945, and the Austrians had kept all the documents and done a marvelous job at keeping that concentration camp as a working memorial to what happened there. And just going back to your earlier point, yes, it is unspeakable what happened to them, but there's a lot of very wonderful things in this book, and I always came at it from the happy ending. My first point of contact was a living baby, all of them will be, by the very nature of their ages, the last known survivors of the Holocaust. And they are full of life and vitality. They're all working. Mark Olsky is a doctor in Madison, Wisconsin. Eva, as I said, lives near me in Cambridge, England, and she speaks to school children 4 or 5 days a week as part of the Holocaust Educational Trust. And Hannah Berger-Moran lives in California and has a company. She's a biochemist, and she has a company that tests drugs for cancer. So their contribution has been enormous, and they've gone on to have children and grandchildren. They are full of joy, full of vitality. And so coming to the story from that perspective, and then looking back, and also in the course of the journey that they went on, their mothers went on, I was able to come across extraordinary acts of courage and kindness by complete strangers who risked everything to help them, and which ultimately helped save their lives. And so although it is another Holocaust book, it has this incredibly redemptive quality. And as we've traveled the world together, because this book has been published now in 21 countries and translated into 16 languages, people come away having met them with this sense of incredible optimism and incredible hope and a reaffirmation of the human spirit.
Absolutely. And we should say that all three women went on to, in many ways, flourish in a way that it seems truly miraculous now. I mean, even beyond the matter of managing to successfully deliver their babies, but then to go on to leave productive and really surprisingly happy lives, a couple of them remarrying and all of them experiencing many of life's joys, which in and of itself is also an important facet of this story of redemption, as you put it.
Yes, very much so. And as Hannah said, we had very big shoes to fill. You know, they didn't remember anything. Of course, they were born in various unspeakable circumstances in different parts of the Nazi extermination system. And it's absolutely miraculous that they survived. But they were raised with the ethos that they had to do something special with their lives. They had to take that opportunity at life that they'd been given that so many millions haven't, and do something extraordinary with it, and most of all, enjoy it. And that's exactly what they've done, and they are extraordinary. And when I come to speak in Lake Geneva, I will be accompanied by Dr. Mark Olsky, who is an ER doctor from Madison, Wisconsin, and I shall also be accompanied by Larry Kosiek. And Larry is an extraordinary man, too. He is the son of the young American liberator, Albert J. Kosiek, who liberated all three mothers and the babies, along with something like 80,000 other prisoners. Unsuspectingly, he came across this concentration camp, not knowing what it was, not even really knowing about concentration camps. And he was flagged down by a Red Cross doctor who begged him and his small little reconnaissance unit of 26 men, they begged him to come up the hill and liberate the camp, because he believed, the doctor believed, that the Nazis were going to try and exterminate all of the last prisoners to eradicate the evidence. And Albert Kosciuk radioed to his command, and he asked for permission to go to the camp, and he was denied it. He was told that it was very important that he carry on checking the state of the bridges, because the rest of the 11th Armored Division was coming through. And Albert Kosciuk turned to his men and said, "Looks like we're going to disobey orders."
Wow.
And they went up the hill, and he personally, aged, I think, 26 years old, liberated all these people, including the three mothers and the babies. And when I was doing my research and I came across his name, I desperately wanted to know more about him. I wanted to know the legacy of what that must have been like, to have seen that as a young man, having gone through the Battle of the Bulge already and seen so much. And I was able to speak to him via the wonders of the internet, and he sent me photographs. He also sent me handwritten testimony that his father had written that he'd never shown anybody before, which I was able to incorporate in the book. And so it's Larry that has a place in Lake Geneva, and it's Larry that's invited me, and I'm very, very happy and proud to stand alongside him, because one of the greatest joys of my entire research process was to, when we launched the hardback of the book in the Illinois Holocaust Museum in May last year, I was able to introduce the three babies to the sons of of Albert Kosciuk, and so the survivors met the sons of the liberator, which was an extraordinary moment. And we also actually have Brian Peterson with us, and Brian Peterson is the son of Dr. Pete Peterson, who was in that group that arrived at the camp after Albert Kosciuck and his reconnaissance division had liberated the camp. He arrived at the camp, and it was he that first ever came across one of these babies, and it was he came across Hannah, who was the lovely lady who now lives in California. And he took one look at her, this pitiful scrap of a child, who was probably close to death and covered in sores and riddled with infection. And he whisked her away and operated on her and saved her life. And Hannah was able independently to find Dr. Peterson and make contact with him before he died. And she's now very much a part of Brian and his family's life, and they also live in Illinois. So we have a very strong Illinois connection, and we're very, very happy to come back.
Wow. That just enhances what will be a very powerful visit for you at the Lake Geneva Public Library on Saturday, May 14th. A last quick question. My understanding is that these three mothers, Rachel, Anka, Priska, did not know one another.
They didn't know one another. They never knew each other, which was, I think, a great pity, because I think they could have been of great comfort to each other. But the need for secrecy was so vital, so important, that they didn't tell anybody they were pregnant. And Rachel, who was accompanied by her three sisters throughout the entire 7 months of her pregnancy and shared a bunk with one sister, even the sisters didn't know she was pregnant. That's how important it was to keep it secret.
Wow. Well, it is secret no longer. It's an important story that you have told so beautifully in your extraordinary book, Born Survivors, about to be released in paperback by Harper Perennial. Born Survivors, Three Young Mothers and Their Extraordinary Story of Courage, Defiance, and Hope. Again, the author, Wendy Holden, comes to the Lake Geneva Public Library on Saturday morning, May 14th at 10:30. And you can call 262-249-5299 if you would like more information about this very special event. Wendy Holden, thank you, first of all, for writing such a powerful and remarkable book and for joining me today on The Morning Show. Very best wishes and safe travels to you.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you for having me.